And welcome to the Let's try that again. You like that, eh? Welcome to the Comic Anvil, episode 6. Today we have with us the boys across the ocean. Say hello, boys.
Howdy.
Yellow.
Yellow and Hodor.
It says howdy, not Hodor.
Oh, close enough. Yeah. And also, we have our friend to the south, Josh. Say hi, Josh.
It's not really south.
Come on, it's south to me. I live. I'm the guy in the north. We're a podcast of the world. Welcome to our world podcast. Did you guys all see Man of Steel?
Yes.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Yeah.
I've seen it twice.
Really?
I really don't know why I went the second time. I thought I might enjoy it more. Well,
really?
I want to go like 4 times. I just haven't had time to do it.
Kyle, have you seen it?
Yeah.
I only seen it once.
Unfortunately, that's not fair representation. Mm. Yes, I have seen it.
You guys didn't like it, eh?
Oh, man.
I liked some of it. There were bits in it. I liked a lot of the Kevin Costner farm stuff, and even the beginning of it, the Tom stuff, I liked.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the action scene at the end, it was a bit too much.
Thank you.
Because I think it's like they wanted to top the Avengers or something with how much destruction. And I don't, like, the second time, I was actually starting to get headache from all the shaky cam stuff.
Really?
That's called Zack Snyder for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I loved the scenes on Krypton. Were there flaws? Yes. I didn't like how Jonathan Kent was killed off. I thought that was not really done too well, and a lot of scenes just felt really rushed.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the ending. Yeah.
Kyle, what'd you think?
Right. Going into the film itself, people have been almost trying to kill my excitement for it, because I'm looking forward to it. Action film, superhero film, cool. But you know the whole bitching about the review scores that had come in for it. It was like 55 on Metacritic or something stupid like that. Actually, I think kind of affected my enjoyment of it, because I always had that in the back of my head. Don't get me wrong, I like the film. You know, it's a solid film. But I don't agree with a lot of people who say things like it was flawless, which it wasn't.
No,
it was
things like, well, you can't compare Iron Man 3 to Man of Steel. Yeah, you fucking can. If you give a film a score and one score is higher than the other, there you go. But I think there were just parts in it, like Anthony said, the actions, the big climactic fight at the end, I was like, what the hell is going on with it? It looked like a mess, really. It was just explosions for the sake of having explosions, and me and my mate who saw it was like, what the hell is going on? And I think I zoned. There were parts around and I just zoned out. It was not worth me trying to figure out what the hell was actually going on.
The actual fight between Zod and Superman was pretty cool. It was just about the half an hour before that, when they were all just going through buildings and he was fighting all the other Kryptonians. But I've been thinking, right, I think I might have enjoyed the film more if they called it Superman Begins and not The Man of Steel, because then I would have been expecting more of like an origin of Superman movie rather than just like an actual... a movie where he's just Superman, which I think is kind of what I wanted more, because people have been like, with the ending where he straight out murders someone, and people are saying that's what that's like the seed of where he decides not to kill anymore. And I just, it's kind of weird, because I've always just thought of Superman as just like this hero who doesn't cross that line and he doesn't kill, and then he's just gone and done it in the new film, and I'm like, well, what?
I liked how they kind of went into depth about how, like, it was built into Zod's DNA that he was supposed to just be like, it's all about saving Krypton. I enjoyed that. But at the same time, what I liked about the ending was it sets up to, like, if Lex comes in the next film, it really shows you, like, here's why Lex just straight up hates this guy and wants to be like the savior of the world. You know, he has like a solid foundation as why people should not like Superman. Because I always got this feeling that Lex was just this guy that was like, hey, just don't like Superman, even though he's this like great hero. And I have no, you know, foundation to tell you why you should hate him, but you should, and you should accept me. I think that kind of is something that will go play into a future story.
I could see that.
I also think LexCorp are going to rebuild Metropolis. I can see them doing that in a sequel.
Totally.
Yes, I agree with that.
That's like the first thing I said to my friends when I came out. It's like, oh, so Lex Luthor is going to be rebuild Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, here's my thoughts. I took my daughter, and I spent the first half an hour telling her to be quiet and to sit down, and then she fell asleep, and then she woke up at the end when, you know, the destruction was going on. But I enjoyed the movie. I liked the Kryptonian stuff in the beginning. I don't know why people are bitching about Jor-El jump on his flying dragon fly.
Oh, the thing! I thought that was cool.
I'm like, yeah, look, a little Star Wars. I like that.
Yep.
That's me. I like that. So whatever.
I thought of Avatar a lot.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I saw it. Jigsaw.
I agree that the way that Pa Kent died was really lame. I mean, it could have been done. It should have been the heart attack, I think. Anyways, because there's nothing
or
he could do
where
about
he
that.
Couldn't have just easily saved
the
him.
Fact that he could have done something is what irks people, I think, you know.
Yeah,
and he didn't.
It's not that he couldn't have got away with it. Think about it, it's a natural disaster. People's when shit like that happens, people's mind plays tricks on them or whatever. He can just go, yeah, he just somehow managed to save it. It was an act of God, and no, I really doubt anybody would have doubted it. And anyone that would have say it had part in the film where the news report, they would just gone, oh, these people are crazy and all that, and no attention would have been paid to it.
Yeah.
I think it had to be something.
He had to be something that he couldn't fix.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And a heart attack is one. Tell me.
The thing that bothers me about that scene, though, is right. Pa Kent is basically sacrificing himself to save a dog. Yeah. Like, if it was someone else, like if it was a little kid, then maybe I can understand, but it's a dog, and maybe it's because I don't have pets, so I don't quite understand that connection people have to their animals.
Yes.
But you know, between yourself and your dog, I'm sorry, it sounds horrible, but would you really want to like go through that just to save a dog? I said that's what I just couldn't buy that.
And also there's no reason for him to go back and save anyone. You can just let Clark do it himself.
Well,
I don't think there's an actual reason why. He's an old ass man who, just collapse or get blown up. Get the younger one who's got a better chance of doing something. It's just, pointless little things like that. I think it hurts my sense of believability. And even, you can have believability within way characters react to situations in ridiculous films like this. If you don't act like a normal person would probably act, then it just bugs me more.
Right.
I don't know.
Anyways, continuing on, I enjoyed the part where he finally gets the uniform and he's trying to learn how to fly. I mean, he picked it up pretty fast,
pretty
but it was still amusing. Had a good laugh and it looked cool. Thought that was neat.
You know, Jor-El giving him a cape for no reason out of nowhere.
Everybody wore capes. Didn't you notice?
No,
they're all
bright
capes.
Blue. Under Armour.
Yeah, I don't know why he went with the primary colors there. Maybe.
There you go.
I would have liked if he had like just gotten the blue suit, and then, you know, his mom would have given him the cape or something. You know, just that little throwback to her kind of creating the uniform.
Mm. I see what you're saying.
What I liked about that scene is how he's like he kind of like learned to leap tall buildings in a single bound before he just went straight out flying. I thought that was quite a nice note to like how Superman first was in the late 30s when he was first created.
And then, I don't know. I didn't have no problems with the destruction. I mean, shit's getting fucked up. He's fighting for the planet. He can't save everybody. It's his first fucking time out.
He doesn't even try to save people. He tries to save Lois, who need not be in this film. She serves no real purpose in this film. She's the only person in the Daily that anybody recognizes from the Daily Planet, and he needed a love interest. That's the only two reasons why she's in this film.
I disagree with that. I think she I don't know. She does kind of help move the plot forward a little bit for what plot there is with like, because she's kind of like the human point of view for seeing Superman, I suppose. Because like she's how the character the audience is supposed to connect to when seeing Superman for the first time, I guess. Maybe. But I didn't think she was. I thought Lois was pretty good in it, actually. I think Amy Adams should have been in Superman Returns.
I love Amy Adams as Lois. She did a
yeah.
I think she did a great job.
Don't get me wrong, I think she was all right, but I don't think that Lois need be in the film.
Mm. Well, you can't do you really want to make a Superman film without Lois Lane?
Yeah, but if you're gonna have it, we can do Superman free. Oh God!
Can we talk about? There's one the scene at the end where that army chick goes, "Oh, you know, he's really good looking or whatever."
Yeah, oh right, God! Right.
Is that Carol Ferris?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't catch
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what people are saying.
Oh, fuck! I saw why does Ferris it say Ferris on her tag or what?
Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. that's.
Because you're ignoring that Blake Lively exists. Green Lantern film.
I don't think they're gonna count that.
I think everybody's fine with that. I don't think anyone apart would really complain that the Green Lantern film doesn't exist. Anyone with a brain, you know at least.
I loved
it. Do you know what annoyed me about that scene is? That character, right? Her only two contributions to the film was so the man could explain what terraforming is, and just that bit at the end, so we're told that Superman taught, because we really needed to be told that. I just think it was a poorly written female character.
No, because they didn't think the shirtless, hairy chest part where he's on fire was enough to tell that people might find him attractive. Just thought
we'd
have to reinforce it.
He's hot, not just because he's on fire. my only other thing I wanted to talk about was the ending there, where he has Zod in the headlock. You know, spoilers. I mean, we kind of been spoiling the whole movie. Some of you tried not to spoil it, but fuck it, Zod, right? Because the guy's doing the heat vision. And he's gonna kill some normies, some muggles.
Yeah. Why couldn't he just fly out of the building?
Well.
Why didn't fly Zod off? Somebody use his eyeballs? He didn't have to move his head to use his heat vision. Somebody... He can use his eyes.
Yeah, he could have just took his eyeballs out, which would have been more gory.
That would have been cool, actually. But somebody said that why didn't he just cover his eyes? Well, from what I know, if that happened, it would just refract more. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would be seeping into the cracks of his fingers, and it would probably cause more damage. Like I said, it was his first time out. Of course, he's going to fucking kill him. Jesus Christ. What else is he going to
do? See...
His dad told him to let people die when they need to die, you know?
No, just children. Just die. Children.
Yeah, just little children. Keep killing
Forget
children.
Anyone.
I would have liked to seen maybe Lois in that group of people to really kind of drive him towards that. But at the same time, it kind of just shows, like, here's these people that he has no idea who they are, but he chose humanity at the end of the day. Like, these are people that I don't know. The only connection I have with them is I'm now considering myself part of the human race. So here I'm making this like sacrifice. I'm sacrificing my beliefs in order to save like these people.
Oh, I thought he just wanted to cohabitate peacefully like his dad suggested. But that's me. So yeah, conflicting opinions when it comes to the Man of Steel. I enjoyed the movie. I'd like to watch it in 3D now.
No, 3D is unnecessary.
I couldn't handle that in 3D. All that shaky cam in 3D.
It didn't help. Henry Cavill was good. I liked him apart from, you know, the fact... You know, when he actually smiled, I looked like he was happy at points. It was alright apart from the industry. Oh, I am not going to move my face.
Yeah, I thought he was a good Superman. I'll be interested to see how he plays as Clark Kent.
Yeah, that's another thing that kind of annoyed me a little bit, how they put Clark Kent in at the end of it, just because they kind of have to. Mm-hmm. But at that point, everyone pretty much knows who Superman is anyway, and he didn't really... although I suppose it's the same argument where you got the same...
Really hedge, attractive man.
Everyone knows who Superman is at that point, so I don't know. But I suppose it's cool they put Clark Kent in it, even if it was just for one shot.
Was that girl supposed to be the female Jimmy Olsen?
I believe so.
No.
His sister, I believe.
That's lame.
So, it's weird. I don't get why, you know, there was like, no, it wasn't like full scenes. I don't get why there was scenes with her struggling under that, being trapped and everything, but they never actually name her. Or Perry White's whatever, he's there just being a dick.
He's doing his Forrest Gump. Don't worry, Jenny. We'll get you, Jenny.
Yeah.
It's great as well near the end when they turn to Superman and they say he saved us, and they're just stood in Metropolis, which is just level. hundreds of people have died. He saved us.
Statement.
Yeah.
Well, probably more than hundreds, but you know.
Whatever. It's his first time out. Fuck. Cut him a break.
That doesn't mean you can just let people die. Then
you just learned to fly the day before, man. Fuck.
He needed Captain America, Hawkeye, and Black Widow on crowd control. Then he would have been all right.
Yeah. Part 3, you'll have Green Arrow, Black Canary, and who's the boxing guy again?
Wildcat?
Yeah, there you go. Forgot his name. Good one, though.
And have, what's his name from Arrow, be Green Arrow, because he's awesome. Yep. Yes. Arrow's awesome. Say
really?
It again.
Really?
All said and done.
Yes, there we go.
Really?
Someone else agreed to me. Right, it's all good now.
Yeah, I've never watched it.
Good. I stopped watching it after like the third episode.
You know, the first five episodes are pretty crap, to be honest. It reminded me of Smallville, which is when no, hell no, but gets good, and there's abs and everything.
And there's okay.
Okay, you know, I appreciate. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us more about your sexual preferences, Kyle.
I'm comfortable with my sexuality.
Yeah, there you go. It's soccer in North America.
So, should we get on to some comics then before this gets any weird?
Sure, yeah, I can do that. Okay, where do you guys want to start? Maybe we should let Josh go first, I think, because I know where this is going to go soon, and I don't think he's read it. So, Josh, hit us with your pick, big guy.
Oh, well, I mean, it's obvious what it's going to be.
Batman.
Yes. Oh. Yes, well played.
actually,
is that it's probably one of Anthony's picks.
Maybe.
Okay, go on.
Batman's one, the beginning of the Zero Year. The thing about Snyder is he pays mad respect to Year One, which is cool. He loves that, and... So this isn't meant to be that redone, and the first issue wasn't. It was kind of cool. I think it took place about 6 years ago from where the current events were happening.
Mm. 6 years in the future?
In the past.
In the past. And real cool. It was interesting seeing him kind of out and about doing things in like a half Batman costume. During the daylight. I thought the art was fantastic, seeing Gotham not in that nighttime setting. And, you know, we see him kind of saving some kids and then the talk about how he wants to, you know, make Gotham this better place. And Gotham at this point is just, you know, run down. I mean, there's the subways are flooded, that you can see fish kind of swimming around in there. You know, and some conversations, you know, back and forth with him and Alfred on why he wants to kind of go about and make Gotham a better place, which, you know, really still kind of that aspect of, you know, his parents dying and that sort of thing. We end up, you know, kind of getting introduced to his uncle, Philip Kane, and he wants Bruce to kind of come in and run Wayne, I think it's Wayne Industries at this point. And he says that, you know, everyone in Gotham loves the Waynes, hates the Canes, and that he needs to be the one that kind of turns the company around and turns Gotham around. And at that point, Bruce, you know, doesn't want people to know he's back. So he's kind of in the shadows. No one knows he's back from his travels. They still assume he's dead. And then, you know, you think that his uncle is just this kind of guy that's going to really is looking out for him and his best interests. But there's really alternative motives there when we kind of see him later on having a conversation with a villain who I remember hearing was going to be in this, but kind of forgot about. And seeing the Riddler kind of pop up there was a real cool thing, because I enjoy him a lot as a villain.
This is his first appearance, New 52?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he was in some panels for Death of the Family and like Batman number one, but I think this is like the first art where he's been like a character.
Doing yeah, that's right. Stuff. There was a couple panels there.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you know what I liked about the Edward Nygma bit though is that he's kind of like working for Wayne Industries, which is exactly what he was doing in Batman Forever, which is kind of a cool way of Scott Snyder, like. Kind of referencing Batman Forever.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Well, that quality gem film, I loved it.
Yep.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Legend, yeah.
Anyways.
I like Jim Carrey. The rest of the film was bad, but I liked Jim Carrey.
Anyways.
There's also the giant penny in front of the Wayne building, which is kind of weird. Why is it? Like, obviously, we're going to find out sooner or later. But the thing with, because I was actually going to talk about Zero Year as well, so I'll just like mention this. The thing that people have to remember when they're reading it is that it's kind of the first chapter of a book, where it's like this first part of this story that's probably going to last over a year. So people shouldn't really read it. Be expecting like revelations or anything of how he's going to become Batman in the first issue. It's going to be like played out over a long time, and I think it's going to be really cool how Snyder like paces it and plays it out, and eventually he'll be the Batman that we've been reading for the past 2 years or so in the New 52.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Batman turns into a bitch all the time. But he's always outmatched. Because each story of Snyder so far, he's turned out, it starts off with him just basically being bitch slapped by everyone. And then he eventually wins. Because it's like, yay, Batman!
That's Batman's superpower, the second chance.
That's actually what happens in The Dark Knight Rises, now that I think about it.
Thanks. Alright, so what would you guys score that book out of 7?
I'd give it a 6.
Really?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Really? So it wasn't perfect? That's bad.
I don't know. Josh, why wouldn't you give it a 7? Because I can't think of a reason not to, but...
I could think of a reason.
I feel like a 7 is just... it's a perfect book. And
yeah.
I don't want to be like giving those away like it's candy, you know?
Yeah.
What's the cover price, boys?
What was it? $3.99?
Yeah, it's $3.99. Yeah.
Really? 20 pages, right?
Batman's always been $3.99, but you get a backup with it, which is usually like co-written by Snyder, and this one's got Ralph Albuquerque on art, so...
Backups always suck, come on.
I don't mind backups if they're kind of like the same writer who's doing the main story, and they've kind of... to do with what's actually going on in the book. It's just like the backups in Action Comics, when Morrison was writing it, weren't very good, and I was... just gonna stop reading them, but I thought I'm paying $4 for this comic. I'm gonna read these damn backups because this is why it's a dollar more.
But... Okay. What's the name? What was the one? Snyder and Maliev on Superman was all right. This as a backup was all right.
Maliev,
it was
Superman.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be neat. Very cool. Okay. Me. We'll pick me. I read a book from Avatar Press once again this week. This time it was Extinction Parade, and it's Zombies versus Vampires. Not Sparkly Vampires, not Lestat Vampires.
Man, that's not a good book then.
And not Bela Lugosi Vampires. No, I don't know, man. As I was reading it, I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. You know, it's got its right amount of gore, not too much sex in it. Nobody's humping body parts like Cross, so it's just your regular zombie festival. And it's kind of narrated by this vampire chick who's looking around. And the thing that I thought was really neat about this issue is at the end she kind of runs into a zombie. Or a pack of them, and they don't even recognize her as food because she's a vampire. She's a living dead as well, right?
Whoa.
Yeah. So, but pretty much what I can see coming from this first issue is it's going to be a race for food, basically. Because if zombies turn all the humans into zombies, there's nothing for the vampires to eat, right?
Yep.
So that's what seems to be happening. It's pretty cool. Mark Brooks, guy who wrote the book for World War Z, not Mark Brooks, Max Brooks. He was the writer. Illustrated by Raulo Caceres. I can't speak English. It was good. It was different. I'm surprised with these books that are coming out of Avatar Press. They're not just straight up gore porn anymore. It's an interesting combo, I think. Vampires versus zombies. You wouldn't think much would come of it, but I think that there might be something to this. So I'll give it a 6. You know, it's got a reference to Twilight vampires, so that's why it gets knocked a peg. So if you guys are ever interested in reading that, read it. You can't get it on Comixology though; it's not for little kids.
Oh man!
So make sure you take your ID to the comic shop. Okay, which one of you clowns is going to talk about Age of Apocalypse?
I'll talk about it, okay. Because I have opinions. Well, not really opinions, but I've been reading it for 10 issues, so I may as well get something productive out of it.
Okay.
Age of Ultron 10, I've just counted, has 7 artists on the interiors. Mm-hmm. There's Alex Maleev, there's Brian Hitch, whose pages were just reused from issue Avengers 12.1. Mm-hmm. There's Butch Geis, Brandon Peterson, Carlos Pacheco, David Marquez, and Joe Quesada. So, the art style, it's not really consistent throughout, because you turn the page and it's a new artist and it looks different, and it's like, okay, that's weird. But anyway, getting over that, so Age of Ultron's finished, hasn't it? I think stuff happened. But do you know what this actually reminded me of a little bit? And it's because I reread it recently. It's kind of a bit, but it seemed like it was going to be like Crisis on Infinite Earths from Marvel, where it was going to kind of like converge all the universe together. Because there's these two pages, which is really my favorite part of the comic book, where you get these panels of these characters kind of like holding their heads going crazy. Mm-hmm. And then on those panels, you see like characters from the other universes, like there's Old Man Logan, the Doom 2099, the Squadron Supreme, and stuff like that, which was actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's kind of hard to talk about this because...
Not spoiling it?
Well, it's time travel, and it's confusing.
You know what? I reread it yesterday while I was drinking some beers, and it made a lot more fucking sense.
Oh, you gotta be drunk to get it then.
No. It does make a lot more sense. But the thing that most people probably don't realize is you need to start at Avengers 12.1. Yeah. Which came out, like, how long ago? So then they re-released it on Free Comic Book Day, like that was going to help? I don't know. I didn't really catch on to it until I read all 10, and I got to the last issue 10, and I was like, oh yeah, this is Avengers, cocksucker! Anyways, I thought it kind of helped me with the different artists, discerning what timeline we were in as we were reading.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I finally figured out which Wolverine came out of the cave. And yeah, the part you're talking about where everything's readjusting and then it readjusts again but breaks, that's the interesting part.
I thought the ending was pretty cool, where Galactus shows up in front of Miles and Miles is like, wait, and who's that?
It's been confirmed that it is 616 Galactus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
And then you got the page of Angela, which we all knew was coming, which is also quite cool, but, you know, we knew that was going to happen anyway.
Well... You got to think about what's going on in Marvel now, right? Like when it started. We got the FF, they're traveling through time. We got the new Avengers, they're fighting multiverses one at a time, right? We got Thor, who's, you know, somehow from 3 different time periods in his life have teamed up to fight a Godslayer. What the hell else we got?
All new X-Men.
All new X-Men are cruising around in the present. How is that possible, right? What else is going on? There's something else, dude.
There's like a lot of time stuff going on, isn't it?
Yes.
And you can't. It does kind of make you wonder if it's all like kind of connected together, and if it's leading to something, or if it's just like the writers just wanting to tell stories, and it's just more of a coincidence that it's all at the same time.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah, I think. All the time travel stuff. Yeah.
But I think, you know, like as per usual for a Marvel event, it's a prelude to the next age of comics. Do you know what I mean? Like they really set up the universe for more exciting stories. Not like the heroic age, you know. Not like that. Some of them didn't work. I think Siege worked. No, it didn't.
I love Siege. Siege is my favorite event. But what they've said, I'm sure they've said though, with Age of Ultron, you're really gonna only feel like the repercussions of the event after Infinity is finished, which is kind of weird because Infinity's not gonna be done till like what, December?
Really?
Of next year? When
what?
I don't know what.
Infinity.
Infinity, does Infinity start in August?
I think it starts right away.
And it's six issues?
So, doesn't it start next month?
I thought
it started in July.
Well, okay.
Until about October, September, October.
The last issue of Avengers was Prelude to Infinity. So.
Yeah, I know that's the I know the Prelude started, but I just thought it was August for some reason.
Anyways, Age of Ultron would read great in a graphic novel if they put Avengers 12.1 in the beginning and then 1 to 10. Reads really well. Like, I mean, I know I had some complaints about issue 2 and 3 or 1 and 2 and nothing fucking happened. It was the same book. But not really. It reads rather well when you read it all together. I don't know.
See, I dropped it after like 4 or 5.
And I understand that. You know what? After 4 and 5, it changes. It becomes a different story. You can see it change stories like 3 different times through the whole arc, man. It's like, I guess style of story is what I mean. It's all one fucking story, but...
Yeah.
Bendis has always been saying that was like... He was always going to do that. It was like, after Hitch was done, it just completely changed. You think it's going to be one star, and then it just completely changes into another.
Yeah, exactly. And then happened. And yeah, whatever. It's a precursor for Marvel now, I guess. That's what I'm getting.
So, Eric, yeah. Is the 2 Wolverines and 2 Susan Storms then running around?
I don't think so, because the first shaky page is Marvel Now. Right, because if you look at it, it's got like Pirate Thing and all these other guys, and I think that's supposed to be Marvel Now settling, right? And then they show up to whatever present time, and then everything fucking breaks, right? When you get the next page, and then everything's broken. So yeah, I don't think so. I think he killed the Wolverine that comes back and tells him not to kill Hank Pym. He volunteers to die, so the guy who first went back to kill Hank Pym is the guy we have now. Does that make sense? See, it is confusing.
I need to reread this.
Yeah. But as far as Storm thing, I don't think so, man. Like, I know I've seen some people on Twitter talking about why would Wolverine remember and Sue not. But I really don't think that there are 2 Susans running around. I don't know why. Anyways, yes.
Comics, everybody.
Yeah, it's confusing.
So what would you guys, like, rate it as, like, the story as a whole?
I give it a 6.
Ooh.
I would. As a Marvel fanboy, I'll give it a 6.
I'd give it a 5.
Okay. See, it's a little confusing.
I think it will read a lot better in one sitting, though. Like most Bendis does stuff. Mm-hmm. Does, so.
I'm going to have to go back, then.
So, try the trade, man. Or if you ever find a sale on Comixology or something like that.
Yeah.
I think Kyle's going to go into a big bluster about how the fuck... What do you mean they're bringing Miles into the 616? I think that's going to happen, man. I think it's...
All right, preferences. obviously, if you listen to me on here, I love Ultimate Spider-Man. Yes. If you saw my tweet earlier, I was on Wednesday. I was pissed.
Yes, you were.
But I've calmed down since. I think I've calmed down, but it bugs me, though, that if we're going to have another... We don't need... More Spider-Man. Spider-Man characters Spider-Man. Within the 616. Bloody, what's his name's coming back? We got 2099 coming back. Ben Reilly's coming back.
It's because the timeline's broken. It's awesome.
Ultimate Spider-Man in particular is fine just to exist within its own. It's doing its own thing. I don't think it should anyway be brought in. If they want to have Galactus... within an Ultimate Spider-Man story. It's the fact that there's rumors going around in Mighty Avengers after Infinity finishes that Miles is the Spider-Man that's going to be in it or whatever, something stupid like that.
Right.
Yeah, because it's all black people and ethnic, non-white people, basically.
Exclusivity.
But the whole thing about it, just... I don't like it. I just don't like it. I just want, like, I don't care about the other Ultimate X-Men and Ultimates, which is Ultimate Comics, Ultimate's worst name ever. I don't care what those two do. I think, out of all three of them, Ultimate Spider-Man is the only one that, well, sells more than the rest, so just leave it the way it is. But if it's Bendis doing it, I suppose I have faith in him.
Okay.
I have faith in him writing my Ultimate Spider-Man. So as long as he doesn't fuck it up, I think I'll be fine.
I think you need...
But it's a bit confused. Whether they do it, whether, you know, this Hunger miniseries or whatever, there's people thinking that he's going to end with Galactus destroying Ultimate Comics.
Oh, he's hungry. Don't you know? In the Ultimate Universe, people show up and they're hungry all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe Peter Parker will finally come back.
Oh, no, that ain't going to happen, I don't
think. Stone.
I don't think
that little shit, Dan.
Which Peter Parker?
Yeah. The female one.
That's the question, isn't it?
The female one. You know what,
she's
man?
Alive, still.
I think they have to bring him over, man, to be honest with you. Either that or it's just going to die off
they're
on itself.
Look at...
If they do cancel the Ultimate Universe, then fine, bring Miles over. Mm-hmm. But if Ultimate's going to exist, going to continue to exist, leave Miles where he is. That's pretty much the way I want it, mm-hmm. really.
Kyle, you said it yourself. You said you don't read Ultimates and Ultimate X-Men, and I don't think many people do, to be honest. No one seems to care about the Ultimate Universe other than Miles.
From what I've seen, Ultimate X-Men and Ultimates, I don't know which sells more, but sell about 20,000. And then Ultimate Spider-Man sells about 35 or something like that. So I honestly agree. I don't hear anyone talking about Ultimates. I hear myself talking about, I'm constantly thinking about Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you hear people going on about how well-written Ultimate Spider-Man is. You don't hear anyone mentioning X-Men. It's one of those books that exists, but you just
don't really
forget
care about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What's his name?
Exactly.
What other series that exists? Venom. Venom's still going. I didn't realize that until like last week.
What? Okay.
Yeah, that's surprised like issue 30 still going. Isn't it? Or is it higher?
Yeah, I think it's a 30s.
It's 30.
Yeah.
It's 30s.
My whole point is, man, if you look at the Spider-Girl, there was a thing called Marvel 2. They did a second universe. It was like the future. It was the superheroes' kids. Like, there was Spider-Girl, which was the daughter.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that fucking series went on and on and on, right? But it kept getting canceled and then rebooted and canceled and rebooted. And the fans were the only ones that were keeping it alive, but just barely. And eventually, you know what? It disappeared. It just fucking disappeared. Whereas if they do something like that and just keep... Like, if they're going to cancel everything else that's in the Ultimate Universe and just have Spider-Man and leave him in the Ultimate Universe, eventually, I think people are going to forget about him, and it's going to disappear. Or bring him over to the 616 and keep him relevant. You know? Everybody knows he's there.
He's a great character. It's
and now,
simple as that.
Now's the time to do it. Character. You know? Because the timeline's broken!
Also, you bring him into the 616, it opens up a whole new world of possibilities for Miles to interact with people he's never met before.
One problem with him going, if you just take Miles, because Miles is obviously a great character and everything like that, but it's also his supporting cast, which make the series great. So you've got Gwen is now more of going to be more part of Ultimate Spider-Man with more Miles now, and he's got his mate Genki, who is funny in his own right, and I think if they do, that'll be another thing that'll be lost as well. Hmm. It's everyone else reacting around Miles, which is one of the reasons why it's such a great series.
Anyways, that was a big long rant about Age of Ultra, Spider-Man.
So I think we've spent ages on both Man of Steel.
That's cool.
And Age of Ultra.
That's cool. Yeah. It was a big week, man. It was a big week. Okay. I guess it's Cal's turn, even though he kind of took a pick. Hello? Hi. You still there?
Oh, god damn it.
God damn it. What's the matter? You can't hear me? I can hear you.
Oh, I can hear you now. Yeah, sorry. I thought my internet went then.
Again. Again. Let's see. It was a much better episode then. But anyway, I think what is the easiest one for me to talk about, really? The one that I was most anticipated from when I heard about it, and it's Indestructible Hulk number 9.
Ooh.
Is it 9? Yes, 9. Mm-hmm. Mainly because Matteo Scalera is on art, and I loved his work on Secret Avengers, the last volume that was actually good.
Really?
Yeah, and basically this story is Blind Rage, which is brings in Daredevil. Who the whole concept behind the whole series itself was that Bruce Banner agrees to work with S.H.I.E.L.D. under the condition that Hulk smashes, Banner builds, but if anything were to happen to Bruce, that an anonymous person would be able to release some dirty information that S.H.I.E.L.D. don't want getting out about him. So it eventually gets revealed that it is Daredevil, Matt Murdock, or whatever. So basically, the Hulk is Matt Wade's makes characters a lot more fun than they already are. We already know this, and this series has its own levels of humor. So when Maria Hill's got them all on the plane, basically telling them to jump out,
yeah.
But she doesn't want the Hulk to touch. She doesn't need the Hulk yet. But so she gives Banner a parachute. He thinks it's, oh, cool, it's going to work. Parachute, but instead it just drops, releases full of clothes and everything. It just automatically makes him change just like that, which I thought was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, the most I love about it is the whole street level crimes of it. It's not these big monsters or whatever, like the previous arc had the Frost Giants, and all, it was dealing with all Thor's world and everything.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was. But I don't know.
Oh, come on. It's part one of two, man.
Yeah.
It's a good start.
I loved it. Don't get me wrong. It's hard for me to explain it.
I think one of the things that stuck out to me, man, was how Daredevil knew how to speak to Hulk, like to get him to kind of respond to the way he needed him to act with the tone and affliction of the things that he would say to him. And, you know, they explained that. He's like, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And Daredevil can do that because he can read because of his fucking radar sense or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, where Marie Hill forgot that, and he's like, when she's about to jump in some dark hole.
Well, I never knew that.
Hold up, we'll get the light.
That was kind of something new to me, I thought. So I was like, you know what? If you think about it, this is the ultimate team up, Daredevil and Hulk, because if Hulk loses it, Daredevil can chill him out, you know? Without making him revert back to Banner. Sorry.
That's fine.
I'm killing you, Anthony. Anthony,
sorry.
You should read Hulk, boy.
A sighing wasn't aimed at you, though. Sometimes I just sigh because I'm grief.
Uh-huh.
It really wasn't aimed at anyone. Mm. I was just listening.
Yeah, okay. We're not offended.
On it.
Go on, Kyle.
So, this story is great. The series is great. If you're not reading it, I pity you.
It's Mark Waid.
Yeah, it's Mark Waid. I have, again, back to it, I have faith in Mark Waid, and I will read this. So, yeah, if I had to score it, I'd give it a 6.
Nice.
I'm generous today.
Nice. All right. I'd give it a 6. I liked it. It's part 1, part 2.
Yeah, so it's going to be even better.
That's right. I think part 2 is in Daredevil, isn't it?
Is it? I'm sure it's just one. No, it won't be in Daredevil.
No?
Because Daredevil's going through his own ninja shit at the moment.
As per usual.
I thought they were crossing over, though.
I thought it was a crossover, too. Whatever. I mean,
No.
Reply both books. I won't miss it.
Yeah.
Okay. Josh, I think it's your turn.
Oh, man. Okay, well,
You're only going to get in shit if it's more Batman.
No, it's not Batman.
Sweet!
It's actually Animal Man.
No shit. How's that doing? Ooh. I haven't read that in a while.
Well, when the New 52 kind of came around and I saw this was on there, I was recommended to start reading it. And, you know,
probably
I always just...
Review on Nerds on the Rocks. That's why.
Yeah, I just thought it was always like a weird like concept for a superhero to begin with. But it's, you know, it was good during... Rot World, and Lemire's made it even better post Rot World. You know, Buddy's son had been killed at the end of Rot World, and he's still kind of dealing with the grief of what's going on. And you know, it's real cool how they do it. They have, you know, his movie premiere that he was in kind of was had its release, and he was going to like supposed to be going to an awards show, and throughout the issue, you see these like tweets, I guess, on the side of the pages and stuff. And it's kind of funny, like reading what fans have to say about him as a hero and as a, you know, an actor. And, you get people that are like hating on him, people that love him. This one kind of person that you see throughout, you know, whether he's bashing him or praising him, he always finishes off like, God bless. And it was kind of a funny little thing, because that's just, you know, how people kind of are in every day on Twitter and that sort of thing. So it was kind of cool seeing that pop up in there. His daughter, you know, she's one day going to be Animal Girl. And we actually see her in costume going to... Animal. The red, which was real cool, actually. And I really had not liked her character because she just seemed kind of like a whiny little bitch.
Because she's five?
Yeah.
Jesus, man, settle down.
She'll probably end up getting killed soon. DC about killing children.
Oh, they've
DC
already killed one of these kids. They've killed kill them two. Both.
They killed two kids in the same week.
Yeah.
Same week Animal Man released. Damien got killed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. That was the same week.
Oh, I didn't even realize.
Somewhere in the DC Universe, Pa Kent is going, see, Clark? That's how it's done.
Nice. But yeah, I mean, up until really this point, we might have seen him in costume once or twice since the New 52. And, you know, he suited up again and was trying to find these cats that were disappearing.
Like kittens?
And,
actually,
yeah.
Cat? Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Really important superhero work.
Yeah. He's grieving, man. Let him work back in slowly. So yeah, I mean, you end up getting a reveal of this kind of creature that at the end that kind of pops up, and you know, it could be leading into the next kind of story. But you know, they've been really working slowly since the end of Rot World, and I like that. It's you know, you really kind of feel for him, like, you know, he lost his son, his wife, you know, left him at the end of it, and he's kind of just in shambles. So seeing Buddy kind of, you know, getting to that point where he's ready to go outside again, you know, you feel good for him, but at the same time, you understand, you know, he's going through hell. Mm. But it's been a great story, and I'm actually really glad I picked it up to begin with.
Mm. I like Animal Man, because I thought it was going to turn into a superhero comic, and it's like, no, it's not going in that direction.
Really? Yeah.
Jeff Lemire is still putting him through hell. You just can't get a break.
Really? You guys love to watch the torture of DC characters, huh?
I must be like
rubbing off on you.
I like characters going through hell. Why do you think I love Game of Thrones?
Ooh.
Yes.
You don't want to see him being all happy sunshines and, you know.
We want to see Sir got his cock chopped off and Jesus fuck.
Right at the start, somebody, the Red Wedding happens, you know? So.
Oh, God. Oh.
That was awesome.
That's not gold, though.
Hodor!
Still recovering.
All right, so what did we score? What did we score Animal Man?
It's a 6 for sure.
Yeah.
I debated back and forth about giving it a 7.
Is Pugh still on art? Pugh? Still on art?
I think so, yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Fancy pants. All right. Whose turn is it? Anthony? I think so.
It's your turn.
Me?
Yeah. What
the fuck kind of a deal is this? Okay. I did my Avatar comic, alright, I guess, and we talked about Age of Ultron. What else did I pick? Is that all I picked? Was Age of Ultron? Jesus, that's a lot of comic books for one fucking prelude. Okay, we'll go with X-Men Legacy, issue 12. Surprising book. Very surprising book. You guys remember Red Skull appearing in Uncanny Avengers?
Hmm.
And he'd stolen Professor X's brain? Does anybody remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about Uncanny Avengers. I thought that's still going.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. I have to read it anymore. Apparently, Red Skull has ventured over into this Legion book here, and it's kind of cool, man. He's trying to be more proactive. He's getting better at fighting the voices in his head. I don't know if that's the word I'd use. He's got a serious multiple personality disorder, and there's like a royal rumble in his brain every time he needs to pick a fire. A power, I mean. Anyway, so it's him and a bunch of girls and la la, and they're fighting the Red Skull, and he wins for a change. He's not as crazy as everybody thought that he was. And you know what? I don't know. I found this issue to be very thought-provoking. Just some things that came out of it gave me ideas. It's the culmination of the first 12 issues, that's for sure. I don't know how well this book is selling or how much longer it's going to last. I keep waiting to hear it's going to get canceled. But it's just one of those books that I rather enjoy. Because it kind of lives in its own book. I mean, there's not much for crossing over into other X-Men stuff, which you think it would. It is an X-Men book, but it doesn't. Yeah. What else can I say about this? Simon Spurr, quite the interesting writer. He writes the webcomic for Avatar Press for Crossed Badlands, which is free, by the way. You can look that up on the internet. Only if you're 18 and up. There's a couple of artists on this one. I think they had a hard time keeping up here. Paul Davidson did the breakdowns. Jay Leaston did the finishes. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I don't know. What can I say without spoiling it? Not much, I guess. Like I said, it's a culmination of the first 12 issues. And it's a hell of an ending. And I'm kind of scared. I don't know if this guy's maintaining more control or losing control as it goes along. It seems like he's losing control to me now because he's getting mad. Anyways, if you guys don't know anything about Legion, this is the book to go to find something out. I would give this book a 5 out of 7 because you got to read the first 12 issues to understand it. There you go. Next. I love talking about books you guys don't read. You never say fuck it.
You do that all the time.
Damn it. I'll be the guy who reads all the weird books. You guys read the popular stuff, okay?
Yes, sir.
Speaking of popular comics, yeah, segueing. I'm actually going to talk about another DC comic.
No!
That's like what? This will be the third one in the show, as well as talking about the movie.
Oh,
it's a good job we're not a Marvel podcast.
It's the week of DC. My life is saved.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
yeah, it's actually not the one you probably think I'm going to talk about, because I want to talk about Wonder Woman, because it's so fucking good.
Really?
I heard it's awesome.
It's awesome. Oh, it's so good.
Really?
Like, and Cliff Chang's actually back on art for this one, finally, because it feels like he's been off it for ages, so it looks amazing. And it's, it's Brian Azzarello. He's using some of the new gods that Jack Kirby created, like there's Orion in it.
Yes.
And there's some guy on the last page who I'm not entirely sure who he is, but I think he's another new god as well.
I think that's he's kind the of High Father. But it looks to me like Caliban, but I don't know. They don't reveal
it. They don't say his name, that's why I'm not entirely sure who he is. All I know is that it's not... out of the new gods, I only really know Darkseid and Orion, and I know that it's neither of them. So, yeah.
That's seriously fantastic so far.
Yeah, it's the thing with it is though, because there's a lot of characters, there's a lot going on. So when I pick up the issue to read, I can't always remember like what happened last month. But then it comes back to me a little bit because they're kind of all like fighting for this baby because this baby's supposed to be like the Earth or Olympus or something, or one of the realms. It's either Olympus or Themyscira, wherever the Amazons are from,
right.
And it's like. It's pretty much Wonder Woman just trying to protect this baby and a mother from the wrong people getting a hold of her. And then you've got like...
Really? It's like all this time, like, that was how it started. Like, I remember reading the first few issues and that's kind of
how
it's
the same story.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It's really good though. There's also a couple of pages that show the characters going through a boom tube. I think that's what it's called.
Boobs.
Is that what they call them?
Boobs. That's what I call DCU. Them. Oh, the boom.
And they look. There's a couple of pages of that, and it looks really good. Like how Cliff Chang's done the art and how it's been colored by Matt Wilson, and it's a really good comic, especially when Cliff Chang's on art because he's a pretty good artist.
Might have to catch up on that.
Yeah,
I think with I think. It's kind of with Batman where it's been consistently good pretty much since it started. And it's also had the benefit that it's not crossed over with anything and it's not like tying into like Trinity War or any of that shit. It's just kind of they're letting Brian Azzarello just do his own thing and tell the story he wants to tell. So, good comic.
That's cool, man. Can't knock that guy. He wrote one of my favorite books of all time, 100 Bullets.
Yeah.
So...
I've not read that. I keep meaning to check that out.
Oh, it's cool. It's hard. It's hard to read a little bit, but it's cool. Anyways, very cool. Would you give it a 6, a 7?
I'm gonna give it a 6. I think it needs some DC comics need recap pages.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yes. Or they need to do what Marvel do and do an AR video on the front that does a recap for you, like a video.
Those fucking ARs, man. I could not get them to fucking work yesterday on any of those Age of Ultron books. It was pissing me off. I have a hard time with my phone lately.
I do them on my iPad because I've only got a 3GS, really? Which is a bit shit for stuff like that. Oh, it seems to work fine on my iPad.
Wait, you got 3G on your iPad?
No, I've got an iPhone 3GS.
Oh.
It's kind of old. My iPad's a bit faster than it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I like Wonder Woman too. I've been playing Injustice on my iPad for free.
Yes.
Which is fucking a ton of fun. I use Wonder Woman liberally. She's one of my toughest characters, and I love to beat up Batman with her. her boobs are huge. Actually, everybody.
Does she look any less of a man than she does in the actual console?
They have pants. Yeah, she's kind of butch when they do the close up on her special move. I'm like, whoa, let's take it back. Let's just go with that side profile of the giant titties. Anyways, yeah, her shield's pretty badass.
Yeah.
But I've been using Lobo, and that guy even kicks more ass than she does, so that's all I can say about that. I just beat up a team of Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. And one, it was awesome. I got a question for you guys. You guys play the console version?
I did.
Is it 3-on-3 like it is on the iPad? Like, do you pick three characters?
No.
It's just 1-on-1, right?
Yeah.
That's lame. I was hoping it would be like three dudes at a time.
I picked that up at Toys R Us for like $35. Nice. Beat it in like 2 days.
Took it in. You should have sent it to me. Fucker.
Yeah.
It's still $60 here. I want to play it pretty bad.
Yeah, I sold it back for like $40 at GameStop, so I made money off of it.
Wow. I would like to suggest, if anybody's interested, watch the Conan O'Brien review of Injustice, where he plays it. He makes a dude wear a blindfold while the guy's using Aquaman, and he still loses. It's awesome. It's fucking weird. It's a pretty good review. Anyways, sidetracked Injustice. Whose turn was it? Kyle?
Yeah.
Last one, I think, man. We filled an hour.
Yeah, I'll try and be quick, I suppose.
That's what she said.
I'm out of... Yeah. Shut up. Anyway, DC, I'm just going to keep the last one DC, I suppose. Batman and Batgirl.
Fuck you guys.
I didn't read that one yet either. Jeez, oh, Pete.
It's really no. Is no one really going to talk about Superman Unchained?
Really?
Am I just going to have to name drop it there? Sorry, Carl. Go on. Talk about Batman.
Batman and Batgirl. If you've been reading Batgirl, basically she killed her brother.
She killed her brother
by throwing a batarang. Yeah, basically.
Oh, the evil little bastard. Wait, no, that's
That one. Okay. James Gordon Jr. Okay. She basically killed him, but she probably could have saved him. She threw a batarang harder than she had to into his eye, and he fell off a pier or something like that. So in the last two issues, of Batgirl itself is basically her not being able to get over it, and in the last one, she decided that she's not worthy to be Batgirl anymore. Per se, so she's removed the bat symbol off of her chest.
Oh man.
Okay.
So in this one, it's still going through Batman's five stages of grief or whatever, where he's just beating on people and then getting off, which now that I've just said that, it sounds really dirty.
Very. I knew Batman was into some kinky shit, man. Interesting.
Right, so he's doing that. But what's weird about it, though, is that this has already basically been touched up. For fuck's sake, touched on. Touched on. In that Batman, the Batman 18 or 19 or whatever, where he's basically being all aggressive and everything and just being more ruthless with everyone, and then Harper tries to calm him down. In this one, it ends up where Batgirl's basically chasing Batman around the city, and he won't talk to her. He's just ignoring her completely. Until he eventually meets her back at the Batcave, and she starts going on with herself, saying that you need a Robin and all this and everything. You need to stop beating yourself up. He won't help you. I'll try and help you. And Batman's going, oh no, I'm not the one that needs help. Damien needed help. And all this. But at this point, no, to be honest, this whole Batman grieving thing is starting to get a little annoying.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I love Damien. Right? Damien's awesome. Damien's awesome.
Bring him back.
But it's been like 117 days or something since he died. Tumble page. I mentioned it last time. But it's just rinse and repeat at this point. And it's getting a little annoying. It comes to the point where Batgirl says that she'll be Robin if she wants him to be, if he wants her to be. She'll quit being Batgirl again, be Robin instead if it helps him. But it's like, this whole thing should have been wrapped up, and then Batman should just be either cancel Batman and, or just have him be Batman and Red Robin or something like that, and just have it consistent instead of keep retreading what we've already been over about 5 times at this point.
Let me get that.
And I think it's still going to go on. I think it's going to go on. You know,
he's going to go on until his eventual return.
Yep.
Which could be in the next few months, I think.
Yep.
In all honesty, I think Damian will be back by the end of the year. He'll be back before Peter Parker comes back. I'm calling it. On this episode, right. I'm calling it. Damian will be back before Peter.
Okay. So what would you score that? Robin. Batgirl wants to be Robin. 4. Fuck that book, he says. 4 for fuck this shit. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I've been enjoying Batman Tomasi's Batman and Robin series, and it's like, at this point, again, he needs to get over it. Let's do something else instead of being so miserable all the time. Well, more miserable than Batman is as it is, I suppose.
Okay. Let's do the quick... Superman Unchained. I bought it. It was $5. I don't know why I bought it. It had the stupidest fold-out page in the history of comics. Anybody else rip theirs?
No, I was careful.
I was very careful. What? But now I think I can never read it again in fear that I will rip the poster out and then it's ruined.
They put some kind of weird sticky glue in there in it.
I took the glue off and I just put it back in.
Didn't like that. Other than that, it wasn't a bad issue, I didn't think.
It's the Superman I've been wanting since the New 52 started.
Yeah, rather than good Superman.
Yeah,
there's that.
That's what I wanted Action Comics 1 to be like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Instead of what it was.
Yeah, you know? I enjoyed it for a Superman story. I thought there was one scene in there that really looked like the Vindicator Superman from Return of the Superman. You know, after I don't know if you guys remember this. Superman died, and then there was like 4 dudes that showed up. One of them was like an actual Kryptonian robot. That was evil one time, but like just the look of him being underwater with the glowing red eyes and just a straight blue suit, it really was reminiscent of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Is this an ongoing or is it just going to be
it's an ongoing. Yeah.
I think I'm going to get the next issue, just to check.
Yeah.
Unless it's 5 months and it has another stupid 4-page foldout, then no. But
I'm debating between reading it digitally and getting the hardcover or actually just getting the single issues. I can't quite make my mind up.
Did you guys hear that special effects just now? That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
I hear that.
No, you probably didn't. You were talking. Anyways, you should have seen at my comic store, man. I was like, where the fuck are the Superman Unchained? And there was a 2-foot pile of books. There was 3 of them. They had ordered so many to get the variants. I was like, okay, well, let me show me the variants. And each variant was like, I think the cheapest one they had was $15.
Yeah, that was the same with me. Actually, they had a lot at my store, and I had to go to a different store to get your the 0 year.
Really? I was just surprised at how many variants there was and how many copies a shop has to order. I was like, I hope these are returnable, you guys, because there's no fucking way you're selling all these. I'm sorry.
I know. I
don't see it happening.
To be honest, now, the only reason I picked it up, $4.99. So if convert, basically my shop had it where I could just pay for the normal $3.99 price, which is about £2.85 or something like that. If it would have been the full £4 for it, I wouldn't have bothered. Especially just for that fold out.
They don't put the pound price on anymore?
No, it's a dollar side on our covers, but it's whatever the shop decides he wants to charge it for.
I'm just noticing that. I remember it used to have American, Canadian and UK prices. That's how old I am. I remember stupid shit.
Wow.
I think if that poster had just pretty much just been a poster, it wouldn't have bothered me as much.
Because
there was text on it, and there was caption boxes, and you had to really read it to carry on the story. And with mine, this is probably like it was someone else's. The little white thing that it was glued to covered some of the text, and I didn't want to rip it out, so I struggled to read some of it, and it just completely brought me out of the story, and I was just like, yeah, I don't want this shit. I just want to read a Superman comic by Scott Snyder and Jim Lee.
Yeah.
But, you know, the movie's coming out. It's a number one issue. It's Jim Lee. He's a big artist, so we've got to obviously do the biggest picture of Superman that's been printed in a comic of whatever it was.
That guy's art's getting a little tired to me. I mean, I've been around for a
I
while.
Think it
so.
Looked be- I think it looked better in Superman Unchained than it did in Justice League.
Yeah?
It's, personally, that's my opinion. I think it looked better in Unchained.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it didn't look as rushed. I think it looked a little more rushed for Justice.
Because he didn't have to do as many characters, or mainly superheroes.
I think that's it as well,
well.
Yeah. But yeah. I think after he left like Justice League in issue 12 or 13, and I think he like started Superman Unchained straight after, so he's had like a lot more lead time into do Superman. So,
well, I wish them the best of luck for that one. I will give that issue a 4 because of the stupid poster.
I'd give it a 5 because of the poster.
I'd give it a 5.
Five.
Whatever, you guys are wrong. All right. I guess that's a wrap.
Next episode, we're going back to all Marvel stuff.
Yeah, that's
no.
it.
Yeah!
Yeah! Damn all of you. Fuck you guys.
'Know me, still the same OG, but I've been low key, hated on by most these niggas with no cheese, no deals and no G's, no wheels and no keys, no boats, no snowmobiles and no skis. Mad at me, 'cause I can finally afford to provide my family with groceries. Got a crib with a studio and a saw full of tracks to add to the wall full of plaques. Hanging up in the office and back of my house like trophies. Did y'all think I'ma let my dough freeze? Oh please, you better bow down on both knees. Who you think taught you to smoke trees? Who you think brought you to ODs? Easy. Ice cubes and DOCs, the Snoop D-O-double-G's, and a group that said motherfuck the police. Gave you a tape full of dope beats to bump when you strolled through in your hood, and when your album sales wasn't doing too good, who's the doc that he told you to go see? Y'all better listen up closely, all you niggas that said that I turn pop or the firm flop, y'all are the reason that Dre ain't been getting no sleep. So fuck y'all, all of y'all, if y'all don't like me, blow me. Y'all are gonna keep fucking around with me and turn me back to the old me.
Nowadays everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. Nowadays everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. So what do you say to somebody you hate?
What?
Or anyone trying to bring trouble your way? One of his off things in the blood of your way? Yep. Just study your tape of NWA. One day I was walking by with a Walkman on, when I caught a guy, give me an awkward eye.
You looking
strangled him off in the parking lot, but it's dark and I don't give a fuck if it's dark or not. I'm harder than me trying to park a Dodge, but I'm drunk as fuck, right next to a humongous truck in a two-car garage. Hopping out with two broken legs, trying to walk it off. Fuck you too, bitch, call the cops. I'ma kill you and them loud-ass motherfucking barking dogs. And when the cops came through, me and Dre stood next to a burned-down house with a can full of gas and a handful of matches, and still weren't found out.
Right here.
So from here on out, it's the chronic two. Starting the day and tomorrow's anew. And I'm still local enough to choke you to death with a Charleston chew. Slim Shady, hotter than a set of twin babies, and a Mercedes Benz with the windows up when the temp goes up to the mid-80s. Calling men ladies, sorry doc, but I've been crazy. There's no way that you can save me. It's okay, go with him, Haley. Nowadays everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. Nowadays everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre.
If it was up to me, you motherfuckers stop coming up to me with your hands out looking up to me like you want something free. When my last CD was out, you wasn't bumping me, but now that I got slow company, everybody wanna come to me like it was some disease. But you won't get a crumb from me, 'cause I'm from the streets of I told them all them little gangsters, who you think helped mold them all? Now you wanna run around talking about guns like I ain't got none. What you think, I sold them all? 'Cause I stay well off. Now all I get is hate mail all day saying Dre fell off. What? 'Cause I've been in the lab with a pen in the pad trying to get this damn label off. I ain't having that. This is the millennium of aftermath. It ain't gonna be nothing after that. So give me one more platinum plaque and fuck rap, you can have it back. So where's all the mad rappers at? It's like a jungle in a habitat. But all you savage cats know that I was strapped with gas when you were cuddling a cabbage patch.
Nowadays everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. Nowadays everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. Nowadays everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre.